like to thank y'all for asking me to talk. I'm going to share a story that my dad told me. I believe it was Allison. He said, I went out and I was going to do a lesson. I think it was at Allison. He said, I walk in, I see Joe Dukes and Clyde Dukes on the front row. He's thinking, oh man, what have I gotten into? What can I share with them? It's kind of like that with me. The only way I can relate is kind of like me teaching a basketball player how to dunk the ball. So we're going to bear with me. I've had a lot of help in preparation of the lesson. I appreciate that. Hopefully today it might not be something that you hadn't heard before, but hopefully it will touch you in some way in your Christian walk of life. Okay, this morning we're going to talk about, the title of it is Navigating the Landmines of Modern Society. I work with, those of you who don't know, I was a principal for 15 years, coach for 11 years, so I'm given my age. In those times, we work with a lot of children and students, different backgrounds, different families, different beliefs. So we, in dealing with these situations, there's problems that arise throughout the year that we have. And we try to work them out as best we can. But I can't help but worry about the future and what the kids are going to have to face in the future. We live in a connected society. There's a lot of things out there to lead us astray. And some of the, when I give my solutions to answers, I've gotten old enough to where I'm old school now. And it seems that they don't feel that society can operate in the way that it once did. And that's troubling to me. So we're going to study today every problem we come up to that I can narrow down to are temptations in our lives. So the landmine we're going to study today or this morning is the temptations we have in our lives. We're going to begin by defining temptation. One definition of temptation is to want or to do something we know we should not. Synonyms for the word temptation, allurement, enticement, and attraction. You know, I think, I'm going to tell a story. It's, many of you might know my grandmother. She loved to dress up. She loved to have the necklaces and the pins, and she loved to dress up and go to church and have her earrings in. And when I'd sit between her and my mother as a young child, I could play with the necklace and the pin a little bit. When I grabbed the earring, that was a no-no. But no matter how many times she slapped my hand, I still was tempted to grab that earring. So that's a child's temptation, one of the first temptations I remember as a child. Do we have temptations in our lives? We read in James 1:13-15, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. We read here Christians and non-Christians both. We all have temptations in our lives. Temptations are caused from our desires, and you have to be aware of this and fight through these desires. Every temptation is very personal to each one of us. And we all have different temptations we're going to have to overcome in lives, as we read in James. God's not a tempter. We're tempted through our own desires. Who is our adversary? Who is tempting us? We read in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil walks around us every day in our lives and tempting us to give in to our own desires. He uses any tool available to him. Some of the things that make the modern devices that make tasks simpler can lead us into temptation. Some of the examples are those. These are just examples. The computers, the social media, television, cell phones. All these can be used by the devil. Although those are devices that help us, the devil can use them to lead us into temptation. And we need to be aware of these things at all times. Okay. Temptations. And the people that try to, the tempters that try to lead us into temptations and lead us astray, it's false promises. When they're talking and trying to lead us astray, it's false hope, it's false promises. We can read that in 2 Peter 2:19-20. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. For whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought into bondage. For if after that they escape the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. when we become, and the tempters are going to try to lead us astray all the time. And when we're entangled, we're easily overcome. Therefore, as Christians, we should keep close the word of God and watch against all who seek to bewilder them. Through our own desires, we could possibly seem liberated through these temptations. And they're going to try, the tempters are going to try to tell us, you can do what you want. If it feels good, do it. You're going to hear all of those things, but they're just trying to lead us astray and get us from the word of God. And we need to keep the word of God close to us so we don't become servants of corruption. Because when we become the servants of sin, you will always be seeking happiness. We're going to read now. So the devil tempting Jesus, we're going to be in Matthew 4. Then was Jesus led up of the spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The devil tried to use the situation of Jesus fasting and being in for 40 days and nights and tried to get him to turn the stones to bread for nourishment. Jesus refused and quoted from God's word. The second temptation we read, Matthew 4, 5, and 7. Then the devil taketh him up to the holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple. And saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash their foot against the stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil tempted Jesus, and he was denied. And Jesus quoted from God's word. The third temptation we read in Matthew 4, beginning with 8, verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him up to the exceeding mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, all of these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, give thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only thou shalt serve. I want to point out in here, these were subtle temptations. You fast 40 days, 40 nights, probably hungry. Turn these stones to bread for nourishment. Tempting, subtle. Was denied, came back again, tried again, something else. Came back a third time, tried again. Three different types of temptations, three different ways. And we need to understand, because we deny one time, it doesn't mean he's going to come back and try again in a different angle. And we need to understand that he walketh about us like a lion seeking whom he may devour. Now I'm going to tell a story. I'm not even going to make up a name. This is a true story about working with students in school. And this is one particular student. If I make up a name, I'll slip and tell the real name. And I don't want to do that. So there's a young man in seventh grade. I'm a high school principal and we're watching. Go to a track meet and he blows everybody away and everybody's, woo. Look at the hope. Talk to him. Grades are great. Great attitude. Does well. Eighth grade starts out the same way. And well, we're excited. We got something coming in high school but then we start hearing a little bit. He gets in the liquor cabinet at a house or two every now and then. You confront him about it, denies. Everybody denies. But you can tell a little difference in him. Still, a lot of hope, a lot of promise. He comes in as a ninth grader, hope and promise, and that every now and then turns into you hear more and more. And you start hearing about it a lot of places. You still confront the young man. No, I don't do that. But you can tell because again, athletic, you don't see it as much. Grades, you don't see it as much. And personality's changing. You can see that. So sometime along that year, we start hearing of possible no alcohol, maybe some drug stuff. And all this time, we were talking of trying to visit with him and visit with the family some too to see. Deny. But, you know, that one runs promising athlete, in and out. He can't make it. He can't do what's asked of him any longer. So, you really know, we know something's wrong. And he can't stay on a team. We keep, this process goes until about the junior year. We talk to him and we know because we're reading they're having problems in the community. He won't come to school. He won't pass. It just changed. And we confronted him one time, or not necessarily confronted, visited with him one time, after he'd gotten in trouble. And he said, "I love it. I love how drugs make me feel. I love it. I can do anything when I'm on it." Now I tell that story, I'm going to finish the story. He got in trouble, didn't graduate, got in trouble, but he's got his life trying to in the right direction now. But at that time, he said, "I love it." He denied the whole time. And that's how the devil worked. It was just subtle. Chip away, chip away, chip away. And finally, when he said, "I loved it," he was serving corruption and sin. And the devil had him. So we need to be careful as we go through life not to let the devil chip away at us and get us. Now, landmines, and that's, you can't hardly tell, but that's a, I don't know how to run this, so I'll just point. That's a landmine. And I wonder if I'm fixing to step on that and I see that, am I going to change my path? I am, if I can. But once you step on it, it's there. When you let off and it clicks, it blows. And I often wonder about the young man, if he knew in the end what was going to happen when he started, would he continue down that path? And once he continued down that path, it was too late till he hit rock bottom just like this. Once you step on, it's too late. So we need to be very careful as we're going through this life and understand the devil is going to tempt us and he's going to come at us in different ways and fight against these temptations. Temptation categories that we just studied: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. These are categories that the devil used to tempt Jesus, and he's still using them today to tempt us. The temptations are the same, but the venues are different. We have to be aware of how he uses the different venues to tempt us, and remember in the introduction, the feeling of the society has changed and problems are different. I think all of our temptations can still be put into these three categories, and we can fight the temptations in these categories and temptations in our life with God's word. It works today just like it worked in biblical times. And we need to understand that. Okay, we do have temptations in our lives. We know it's around us. We know it's a constant battle. How do we fight our adversary tempting us? I started out my career, I finished as a principal, and some of the kids that I'm a superintendent now, but some of the ones that know me, I went in and shot a basketball about 2 years ago and made it and go, "Man, you can shoot a basketball?" It kind of hurt my feelings because they didn't see me that way. So but I started as a coach, and when I coached and we was going to play a team, I wanted 3 to 4 videos. I wanted as much information as I could gather about who I was going to play. And I also wanted to know how my team was going to react to certain situations they were put in when they were on the field to play. So I wanted to gain a knowledge of who I was playing. So the same thing, we need to gain a knowledge of God's word to help fight the adversary tempting us. We read in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth." Knowledge of God's word is the best way to fight the devil and the temptations he presents us. That's what Jesus did every time he was tempted, wasn't it? He went back, quoted from God's word. Every temptation. So we need to understand that. We need to study and gain a knowledge of God's word so we can divide the truth from the non-truth. We read in 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." People may seem to have the right answers, but they may be leading us astray. We need to look to the Bible for examples of living a Christian life. The Bible is our guide in living the Christian life and our roadmap to eternity in heaven. In today's connected society, there is a temptation to look at other places because there's many places to look and many people trying to give you advice. But we need to search the Bible for answers. And I've always thought we need to be careful trying to find justifications for our actions, but search the word for knowledge of how we should live our lives. So knowledge is one way to fight temptations. We need to use prayer to help fight temptations. And I have another story, and I ain't David like this one. As a principal, believe it or not, people didn't come in my office every day to tell me, hey, you're doing a great job, everything's great. They came in with problems, and rightfully so. We have the children, their children, and that's very precious to them. And I told him, that's why I wore it today. I wore this tie so I could sit down, and the things they said never got through the tie. They didn't get to me, because if they had gotten to me, I might have had a reaction. And a lot of times, I was just sitting and listening. And you know how many times when they got up and they left, they said, thank you for your help, and I never said a word. Never said a word. I just listened and let them get it off their chest. We can use prayer to help us fight temptations. We read in Luke 22 and 40, and when he is at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. We also read in Matthew 26 and 41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We have an avenue set up that we can talk to God and we can ask when we're having struggles. And we can ask not to enter into the temptations. We can ask for help. He loves us. He will listen to us. And we need to use that avenue to help us fight our temptations and struggles we're having in life. We also have Christians and brothers and sisters that we can lean on in times that we're having problems. We read in Hebrews 10 and verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. We gather here, there's a room full of people here. We're all seeking one thing. We want to serve God, we want to be faithful, and we want to have an eternity in heaven with Him. This is our team. And if we're not here, we can't rely on each other and we can't build each other up and encourage each other to reach that goal. So it is important that we be here and we're able to rely on one another to help our goal of reaching heaven. Christian help. I put this here in one of my favorite stories, and I'm a storyteller and I'm sorry. I've got a lot of them. It was the Flying V story about the geese. Many of you may have heard it. It's how, you know, when the geese migrate from north to south and south to north, they fly in a V. And if you're over some round groom, the migrating season, you'd know what I mean because they're everywhere. But they're flying and you have a leader and everybody in the line kind of make them aerodynamic. The leader's flying and you hear all this, they call it honkings, the sound they make, words of encouragement to one another. The leader tires, another one steps up and takes his place. And they're still honking words of encouragement. But one of the real neat things is one gets tired or gets ill and can't continue its flight, two or three go down with it. Try to nurse it back to health, and nurse back to health, they rejoin another flock coming through to make their way. They encourage one another. They lead. They switch leadership. Encouraging and caring. That sounds like a pretty good recipe for us to follow. Care for one another. When people come to us, when they have problems, we need to be able to listen. We need to be able to show compassion. We need to be able to show understanding and try to help them through their problems. I have that story, but I'm going to share another story with you. This is a true story also. I'm not going to call names. I don't know why I'm holding this. It's not working. You're doing it for me. I'm not going to call names again, but it's a true story. I can't give you exact dates, and I wasn't sitting there when the conversation happened, but I can tell you what I was told by one of the people that had the conversation. Leader in the church had approached a young man about baptism. And they had talked a while, and again, I don't know because the young man, this was 25, 30 years ago, came to me just to tell me the story because he knew I went to church. And it talked to him about baptism. For whatever reason, how the conversation went, again, I wasn't there. It came down to this. If you're not baptized, you're going to spend eternity in hell. And the young man told him, I'll see you in hell, and turned around and walked off. That's true. I've lost track of the young man. I pray that his heart is softened and he has been baptized. But that was a true story. And I tell that to say sometimes there's time for tough love. There is. But when we're approached with people, we better know the whole situation and the way we need to approach them to lead them to a Christian life and to be baptized. That's a true story. And It hurts me a little bit that I probably didn't react the proper way. Again, I was about 18 years old, and I don't think I just had my mouth. My mouth was just open because I couldn't imagine anybody saying that. But that's a true story, and it did happen. So when others come to us for help, we need to work with them and help comfort them. We have temptations. We have some tools, ways that we can fight our temptations. Why should we continue to fight our temptations? We read in James 1 and 12, "Blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life for which the Lord hath promised them that love him." This says it all. Receiving a crown of life. Nothing indicates it's going to be easy, but blessed is a man that endureth. And I think of events that we celebrate in life. Team championships, graduations, and retirements. Each one of those are major accomplishments. When a sports team wins, if it's a community, everybody shows up to congratulate everybody, and everybody's really celebrating. Graduations, same thing. A lot of clapping, a lot of yelling, a lot of people come celebrate. And retirements, probably mine will be more than others. People will come celebrate and go, yeah. But those are times of celebration that we have in our lives. Those are all celebrations of this world. Celebrations of this world. And as we read here, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, and when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life. I would like, how good is it going to feel to receive the crown of life and have eternal celebrations? That's why we're going to fight our temptations and move forward. Again, we read, why should we fight? Romans 6 and 23, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Temptations cause us to sin, and the wages of sin is death. If we continue to fight and endure temptation, we can receive the gift of eternal life. I'm going to end with this scripture, 1 Timothy 6 and 12. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of the eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. We've looked this morning at, we know we all have temptations. We can use God's prayer, God's word, and Christian brothers and sisters as tools to fight our temptation. And we can have a crown of life for fighting these temptations. And we need to remember that. Rely on God's word. Rely on each other. Rely on prayer as we walk through this life.